This is Eli McElveen, producer of Alba Salix Royal Physician, and you're listening to the Audio Drama Production Podcast. And now, direct from the front seat, it's Matthew and Robert.
Hello and welcome to the Audio Drama Production Podcast. If you love audio drama, if you love being a part of making audio drama, this is the podcast for you. Mr. Matthew, a little something on the books for today, an A to Z.
Yeah, that's it. And it is an A to Z because we, of course, are Scottish. We're not like our American cousins who would call it an A to Z. Just to paint the picture quickly for the listener, we are back in the car. We like to record in the car sometimes if you're a new listener. Another sunny day. We've been getting a few of these lately. I'm not one to talk about the weather, but this is quite nice.
Yeah, this is usual September fare, I would say. People laughed at me when I booked a holiday up in the north of Scotland in September, thinking it would be awful weather, and it was actually gorgeous. I'm just back from it, and what a time I had. I'm feeling refreshed and ready to talk all things audio.
Well, I'll ask you a bit about that later on, but first things first, let's get wired into the content. This was originally a blog post on our website, audiodramaproduction.com. We had a lot of feedback from various listeners wanting us to make this into a podcast episode, basically, because, you know, most of the listeners are essentially audio people. They probably prefer to consume their content in an audio form, so I thought it was only fair that we could do that for them. So we wouldn't usually just sit and read something at you, but on this occasion we're pretty much going to do that for the first half of the show.
I thought you were going to say most of our listeners are illiterate, so we've put it into audio form just for them, which would have been terribly judgmental of you, and I'm ashamed of you.
Well,
so
kicking things off, Robert, we're going to, of course, the alphabet is my favourite 26 letters. There's no other 26 letters quite like the alphabet. And what a good way to run through the basic principles of audio drama with an A to Z. So are you kicking us off, Robert, with number A?
Yes, I'm going to start right at the beginning. And this is anthology or serial? A little question there. Anthology or serial? What kind of series would you like to make? Doing a serial with ongoing story arcs and characters will give your listeners that extra reason to come back for more. But if you're the type of person who comes up with five different story ideas a day, maybe the anthology is the route for you. For more discussion on this topic, check out our episode, Should I Make a Serial or Anthology Series?
Yeah, and a lot of these A to Z's have links. We'll be going through them as we proceed through the list, and they'll all be in the show notes, which will actually just be the original blog post with a link to this audio episode. So moving on to B, it's balancing / blending in. Your story is going to be told entirely by a collection of different sounds. You might have an actor recording her lines in a bedroom in San Diego, whilst another records his in a basement in Madrid. You might have recorded some sound effects in your kitchen and have others from a professional stock library. The point is that these must all be balanced and blended together in a way that they become one performance. Take time to make sure nothing jars the listener. If something sounds odd or alien to your mix, you need to sort it out or replace it.
Yeah, very much. Everything that you put in, aside from the dialogue, should be background. It should be helping to accentuate what's going on, not distract the listener. Unless it's like an alarm in the background or something like that, which has a very specific purpose. But anyway, I'm going to double us up to C now. Characters. Write each character with a lot of thought. Who are they? What do they want? Why do they want it? And what stands in their way? Make your characters real people, not one-dimensional caricatures who only serve the purpose of furthering a particular plot aim. Explore their lives, their feelings, their interactions. Build relationships and conflicts, and treat minor characters with respect. They may work well enough that you want to build future stories around them and their own lives.
Taking us through to D, it's DAW. A digital audio workstation is the software you'll use to build your audio drama. There are several great options out there when it comes to choosing one. Audacity is free and can get you started, but if you think you're going to stick at audio production, you'll eventually find it quite limiting. Reaper and Adobe Audition are two popular DAWs in the audio drama production space. Our advice is to pick one and stick with it. Better to master one than be reasonable with three or four.
And the fifth letter of the alphabet, as everybody knows, is E, editing. Contrary to popular belief, making audio drama isn't all flash cars, champagne and pool parties. Expect to find yourself hunched over a computer screen for hours on end, carefully crafting the tiniest nuances into your soundscape that literally no one is even going to notice. But at the same time, you break out in a cold sweat at the thought of leaving them out.
F is for final mix. This term is a misnomer in audio drama. Nothing is ever really finished. You'll always listen back and hear missed opportunities. Why did I not include the sound of a curtain blowing in the open window across the street? Get used to this. When you think you are finished, though, you need to listen to your show in as many different ways as possible. Yes, it sounds great through your fancy headphones, but does it still work through the laptop speakers, car speakers, or cheap earbuds? I know it's sacrilege that people will consume your masterpiece this way, but that's just the harsh reality of the world we live in. Never do your final listen sitting at the computer staring at the multi-track. If you do this, you're listening with your eyes. Take your show for a walk, literally. Go out with the earbuds in, and if you notice something is missing or a bit too low slash loud, or maybe a piece of dialogue just isn't hitting the right beat, go back home and adjust it.
G is for genre. What kind of world do you want to live in? The beauty of audio drama is that it is completely limitless. You can set your show anywhere. Build fantasy kingdoms, sprawling space stations, decaying post-apocalyptic cities, or set a comedy show in the living room of your own house. We often use this quote from our interview with Dirk Maggs, but it sums up the freedom of this medium wonderfully. And it goes as so. You can do so much more in audio, you can go anywhere, use your imagination, go from the top of Everest to the depths of the Mariana Trench in the Pacific. Travel to new worlds, go inside someone's head, go inside and live in their head. You can go microscopic, you can go cosmic. Good radio drama, good audio drama, is go and make a world. Go and paint a picture in sound, which makes the imagination create huge, fascinating pictures. Even huge, fascinating pictures of tiny things. If it's a man locked in a cell for 20 years and you are just with him in that cell, you can still explore everything about the human condition, and you can do it with colour and texture and light. And you're just working in sound.
Preach it, Brother Mags. H is for hosting. Unless you're reading this in 2004, or listening to this in 2004 as it may be, you're probably going to want to release your audio dramas free as a podcast series. Incidentally, if you're thinking of charging for your shows, have a read of this post, which of course is in the show notes. But back to podcasting, a good podcast series needs a good media host behind it. We recommend hosting your shows on Libsyn. Use the coupon code ADPP for a month's free hosting with them. And for more information on this subject, have a listen to our episode Where to Host Your Show with Dave Jackson of the School of Podcasting.
I, as they say, I for interaction. When you've been putting out shows for a while, you will start to build a fan base. In that fan base will be listeners who will actually take the time to get in touch with you, to say hello and to thank you for entertaining them. Make sure you take time to interact with these listeners. Ask them if they make a show themselves, and if you can have a small listen to it. Find out more about each listener and become friends with them. You will start small, so take the opportunity to build these relationships while you can. This will create a loyal band of listeners who will share and promote your content for years to come.
J is for jargon. Audio production and writing are the two towers of audio drama. Both are absolutely bursting with jargon terms you've probably never heard before, terms that sound extremely complex. You won't learn everything overnight. In fact, you won't learn everything in 5 or even 10 years. Don't try to master everything at once. Pick and choose your battles, work at them, and absorb information in a slow and patient manner. The internet is full of great tutorials and resources, and there are many excellent books on writing and audio production. Be wary of information overload. Don't read 3 books in a row when you've yet to take action on a single thing mentioned in the first one. You'll just be filling up your short-term memory with information that will soon be discarded or forgotten. Remember, this is a marathon, not a sprint.
And K is for KBPS, or kilobytes per second, hertz, as in HZ, and file types. So, anyway, here's some jargon. Whilst you should record as or request all your audio material in WAV form, you will want to mix down the final version and release it as an MP3. This makes it a smaller, more practical size to be downloaded by people all over the world. When you mix down your finished show as an MP3, you'll be asked to set the kilobytes per second, KBPS, of your file. To put this simply, the higher the rate, the higher the sound quality, but also the bigger the size of the file. Remember, people need to download these. 128 KBPS is considered CD quality. You can go higher than that if you like, but we'd advise against going any lower. This is a good level to shoot for if you're releasing content through a podcast feed. You can always sell or give away copies with higher rates, like 256 or 320 KBPS, as premium content too. On top of that, you'll also hear sampling frequencies like 44,100 Hz and 48,000 Hz being bandied about. Again, higher means better with these numbers, but shoot for 44,100 Hz with your final mix, for the same size or download reasons we've already covered.
L is for loudness levels. There's a long-running debate in the audio and podcasting community about how loud things should be. The most important thing to keep in mind initially, though, is how loud your loudest sound is in relation to your quietest. Your levels and loudness should all be in proportion to each other and work together as a finished piece. No one should ever have to touch the volume button when listening to your show. So if you have a huge explosion and a scene with two characters whispering, bring them as close together as you can in the mixing stage. For more information on this, KBPS and more, check out loudness, bit rates and audio production. Also episode 61, which of course came out last week or the week before. We'll add that in once we get to the old show notes stage.
Excellent.
M, Robert.
M is for music. Alongside dialogue and sound effects, music is an integral part of your soundscape and a powerful storytelling tool. There are some great Creative Commons license resources out there that you can use without permission. Always check the terms of each license when selecting a track and remember to credit the composer. But one disadvantage of this is that you'll hear the same music tracks again and again in different audio dramas. If you want to add that extra dimension of individuality to your story, try hooking up with or hiring a composer who would have the ability to custom score your production. And for more on this, check out Composing Music for Audio Drama and Working with Composers.
N is for narration. Yes, you can use a narrator in your show. Many great audio dramas do. But try to resist relying too heavily on this crutch of allowing a disembodied voice to tell the listener things you can create for them using your sound effects, music and dialogue. Use the vibrant story world to fill gaps with vital story details. Those snippets of background conversation, the TV or radio playing a news broadcast under the conversation of two characters, the trainee or apprentice being told the ins and outs of the company he or she has just joined. There are infinite possibilities here. You just need to get a little creative. For more information on this, check out Should I Use Narration in My Audio Drama? And How Do I Convey Thought in Audio Drama?
Is opening scene. If someone is listening to your show, there are hundreds of thousands of other shows that they aren't listening to. If they get bored, you lose them, and they're not coming back. You need to give them a good reason to stick around, so make those opening minutes count. Check out Drop Your Listener Into the Action for an in-depth look at opening scene hooks.
P is for perspective. From whose perspective are you telling your story? You'll need to think carefully about this in the writing stage. Will you follow one character or will you jump from one to the other? Will your story be linear or will you jump back in time to experience the same event with two or more characters? For more on this, check out Using Perspective to Tell Your Story.
Q is quality and quantity. Now, this is a tough one to master. You want to release good material and you want to release regular material. You can choose one or the other. But you might find that this limits your growth. Some people simply won't put up with poor audio quality even though you were hitting a monthly release schedule. On the other hand, you might release a masterpiece every 9 months, but your listeners may get bored waiting for the next episode. and by the time it finally arrives, they'll have forgotten what happened in the last one. One solution here is to take as long as you need to have 8 to 12 episodes in the can to give you a decent enough buffer to be hitting that regular release schedule. This might take a year or two and will require a lot of patience and discipline. Good luck.
R is for recording location, studio or field. Well, isn't this just a £1 million question? If you record in a studio or similar recording environment, and this applies to working with a remote cast too, you'll have the freedom to completely construct and micromanage your soundscape from scratch. This is especially useful if you need to design the sound of a medieval walled city or a futuristic space station, and you actually live in a busy urban area with cars driving past and planes flying overhead.
Talking of which.
However, if you can find a location that sounds like, and not looks like, but sounds like your story world, and you can get your cast there for a day or two of recording, then this can bring out superb performances in your cast that are hard to replicate in a sterile studio environment. You also have the bonus of that ready-made soundscape underneath your dialogue as actors interact with each other and the world around them. Be warned though, field recording is not for the faint-hearted. Seemingly inconceivable disturbances and interruptions can turn even the most mild-mannered director into the character played by Michael Douglas in the film Falling Down. For more in-depth comparisons between these two options, check out Recording and Equipment, Field Recording and Dialogue Improvisation, Creating Fight Scenes, Should I Record on Location, and Do I Need Expensive Equipment? Those are all podcast episodes in the show notes. Oh, and you can also create a hybrid between the two, like we experimented with in our story, Time is Money.
S is SFX. Sound effects will help paint the picture of your world, whether it's a simple door creaking or the sound of great Cthulhu bursting out of the ocean to bring death to all mankind. You're going to demonstrate this through sound effects. Your everyday effects like footsteps, door creaks, cups being placed on tables should actually only be noticeable in the listener's subconscious. If someone suddenly stops halfway through a scene in your drama to think, "Those footsteps sound effects don't fit right at all," then you have failed in your job. Where the sound effect was originally recorded comes into play here too. If you have a gunshot sound effect recorded in an indoor shooting range, it'll probably carry quite a distinctive echo sound. Would it be appropriate to use this effect in an outdoor gunfight scene? Probably not. So make sure each effect is completely appropriate for the picture you're trying to paint. As always with audio, listen to the sound rather than judge it on its title. If space_station_door.wav sounds like a microwave door opening, then it's a microwave door sound effect. Disregard the written title. Things don't always sound like they look either, and in many cases you can make a better sound effect using something other than the real thing. Think of how little sound you get from a real life punch to the face, whereas if you were to hit a leather jacket with a baseball bat, that might yield far better results. For an in-depth look at this subject, check out Creating Sound Effects.
T is for time. Now, time is a finite resource, and it's one of the few things you can never get back when you've used it. Use your time wisely. Don't think because you've spent 12 hours a day on your drama that you've been productive. Try to work smarter, not harder. Ask yourself some questions. Focus in around the fact that just because you can do certain things, does this mean you should do them? We'll look at this a bit more under your role, but let's use recording sound effects as an example. You've spent 5 hours recording some great effects for your story, but could you have paid for some high quality stock sound effects that were as good as, if not better, than your own material? 5 hours not recording sound effects is 5 hours doing other things. You can get the money you paid back, but you can never get the time back. So again, work smarter, not harder. Also, block out time to work on your story. Whether that's 1 hour a week or 3 hours a day, block out that time and say no to everything in that period. Emergencies excluding, obviously. Don't approach a production with the idea that you'll just chip away at it in your spare time. That won't work and will just lead you on the path to perennial procrastination. And finally, never say, "I don't have time." Everyone has exactly the same amount of time. If that TV show you watch every night and don't even like has to go, then bin it. If you need to get up half an hour early in the morning or stay up an hour late at night, then do it. If you want to make audio drama, then you'll always find the time.
You, untreated files. If you're working with a remote cast, they might be some of the most talented and knowledgeable audio folks out there, but avoid letting everyone apply noise reduction, normalization, and compression to their lines in advance of you getting your hands on them. It's your job to make everything consistent, so make doing this yourself a priority. Feel free to use our audio drama satellite voice acting guide to make sure your cast are clear on what you're looking for on this front.
V is for voice actors. You won't get very far without a cast of voice actors who will become the heroes and villains and everything in between of your story world. Going down the satellite or remote recording route where actors record and send their lines to you gives you access to a wealth of global talent, but you surrender a lot of control over audio quality and recording environments. You lose a little of the magic of actors performing together too. Creating a local audio drama group removes all of these problems, but if you live in a rural area or can't find a suitable number of actors, then this might not be possible. The beauty of this though is you don't really have to choose one or the other. You could mix local and remote actors in one story to great effect. Whatever way you choose to find your talent though, be sure to look after them. And that's actually another podcast episode that's linked to in the show notes.
W is for writing. You can have the best cast, equipment, sound library, composer, and production values in the world, but if you can't write a good story or find a good writer, then all of this means absolutely nothing. On top of writing your story arcs, you need to learn to write dialogue that serves the medium, without being wooden or over-expositional. Have a think about how people talk to each other in real life. Record a conversation between two people and transcribe it. How does it look in written form? Writing for audio is a huge subject in its own right and is impossible to summarise here, but we recommend checking out Telling Your Story and Making It Stand Out, How to Structure Your Story, Writing Dialogue, and Mastering Your Craft Being a Writer for a more detailed look on the many aspects of this subject.
X is for XLR cable. So try to avoid direct-to-computer USB microphones. If you're doing a lot of vocal recording, get yourself a preamp or mixer and a microphone which will connect using an XLR cable. But don't just buy any old XLR cable. Like any other piece of equipment, you get what you pay for. And there's a link to the show notes to an article. It's not by us, it's on another site, and it's called An XLR Cable Is Just a Cable, Right? And that gives you an in-depth look on this subject. And we also mentioned our recommended home recording setup for voice actors. So that's a bit more information on that particular subject for you.
Why is for your role? This comes back to time, your time, and your use of it. Remember, just because you can do everything doesn't mean you should. Many people want to write their show, act in their show, and produce their show. And that's three big jobs right there. So be aware of the sheer workload you're taking on and set your expectations accordingly. If you feel intimidated by the amount of work needed to make an audio drama from scratch, hook up with some other like-minded people or ask to get involved with an established production house. If you want to focus on producing, then you should find a writer to work with no problem. That isn't so easy the other way around though, as there aren't many producers who are not already knee-deep in a number of existing projects. Whatever route you choose, find a small group of good people to work with. Concentrating on one particular area can really allow you to flourish. Trying to take on everything yourself can lead to overload and eventually burnout. Remember, this should be fun and not something that fills you with dread when you open a laptop. Check out Are You Focused for more on this subject. And finally,
yes, number Z, as they say in the US of A. Z is for Zoom. Okay, so we're not sponsored by Zoom, though we do have affiliate links on the website at audiodramaproduction.com, but we've used portable Zoom recorders from day one. We're actually using one right now, and they are pretty much an essential part of the audio dramatist's kit bag. Whether you're recording dialogue, ambience, or sound effects, they give you a superb studio quality sound, along with being extremely handy and affordable. Aside from that, what else would you have put under Z?
Zombies.
True. True.
But that's about it. So that's that. That's the A to Z. I hope you find that useful. Check out the show notes for everything we've discussed, as well as the original blog post, of course, as well. So, moving on.
Yeah, well, we've got the small matter of New Media Europe and the UK Podcast Awards to cover briefly. We won't pat ourselves on the back for too long, but really just first and foremost wanted to thank the listener, because we did ask you to nominate us for this award. We then asked you to vote for us, and I know that can get a bit irritating when you just want to hear a podcast and they keep begging you to do things for them, but you came out in numbers and we really do appreciate it. Robert, you unfortunately couldn't make it down to Manchester for New Media Europe last weekend. It was a phenomenal event. I thoroughly enjoyed myself. And actually, a couple of heads up to Kevin and Paul, who are two listeners and I think it's fair to say fans of the show. Believe it or not, we do have some. So I was really privileged to bump into Kevin and Paul when I was down in Manchester. Spent a lot of time with them. Great guys, doing a lot of good things in their own rights. And just great to catch up with people, chat about podcasting. Great to be in a room full of people who all know what podcasting is. That's not a situation we often find ourselves in, is it?
No, definitely not. Speaking to workmates or family members, and my dad often asks, "What is it you're doing when you go recording?" "Oh, it's for our podcast." "Oh, I don't know what that is." And I just leave it because I'm sick of explaining it to him. But, you know, older generation and all that. But I really did regret not being there this year. At the time, I didn't think I'd have the funds to put down to go. And then later on, there was the family holiday booked, and I didn't even realise it was at the same time as the awards. And I even got an offer, an email, from the people that run it, saying, "Look, we can give you a ticket half price, since it's a week to go, and you're a worthy person to have such an offer." And I would have taken it. I genuinely would have taken it. But by then, of course, the family holiday was booked up in the Highlands, and we won an award. And you got to go and collect it and be up in front of people, which I always love myself as a natural-born performer. So my heart is full of regret, but I was really proud to see the picture of you holding the award aloft with your tie around your neck.
Yeah, it's funny because I was, I went down with my wife, Julia, on the Friday. The awards were on the Saturday night. There was a lot of sessions through the day. I was up for being really sensible on the Friday, you know, just a couple of pints with my tea.
I was going to say, there was a big session on a Friday night, wasn't
yeah,
there?
Yeah, well, believe it or not, in our hotel, we'd had a lot of pints, Julia and I. She's a bad influence on me. There was a stag do from Dunfermline in our hotel. That's where Robert's from. Bearing in mind, this is a few hundred miles down the road in England.
In a different country.
Yeah.
And we're in Dunfermline right now. This is where we're recording in this bar and car park, and there's a stag party from Dunfermline, from here.
Yeah, and I got talking to them in the toilets, as you do.
Yeah,
and, all right. So they were like, "Oh, you have to come out with us and have a few pints." And I was like, "Look, I've already had enough. You know, it's a big day tomorrow. I want to be fresh." I wasn't fresh, but you know, a couple of
you weren't ruined at least.
Well, that's it. But you know, back to the session, some fantastic A-list podcasters, really, guys like Cliff Ravenscraft and Chris Ducker, who, you know, you just bump into and you're chatting away to, and these guys are, you know, very, very successful, making millions of pounds. That's what's funny about this whole new media and podcasting thing. In any other industry, you have events that cater to, you know, people that are at a certain level. And in these events, it's just like everyone's together, you know, the very successful people making millions, and then me, you know, I've never even made a million pence. So there I was, rubbing shoulders with these people. So just a great event, and you come away from it really inspired and, you know, lots of new ideas for the show. And on top of that, to come away with the award was really good. So it's, you know, just a very positive experience. I've even brought the trophy, so I'll let you see it after we finish recording.
You said trophy, right?
It is a trophy, is it not?
I thought you said troll face.
Yeah, that too.
But how good is that, though, that you're seeing, you're mixing with people that are actually making millions, That's inspiring in itself for people that want to make podcasts, that it's doable. You can make a living out of this sort of thing. Not necessarily audio drama. Let's not just say we're all going to be millionaires, but it's inspiring that anything is clearly possible.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we're making millions with this show. Mm-hmm. I would expect that to be billions by next time. This time next year,
I might run for Prime Minister.
Well,
in 5 years,
got the money for that now.
Yeah.
So next up on the agenda here, we've got a trailer in from our friend Eric in Australia. It's called Room for Three, and we're going to put that on for you right now.
When overpopulation became a problem, it resulted in policies of population control. Now, all births are required to be met by a volunteer for death.
The Bureau of Termination Office told me that I was supposed to pose for some picture here.
Wow! Hey, that new mural is amazing! The gardens are beautiful!
You don't believe in population control, Mr. Welling?
No, I think it's just marvellous.
Do you know what a drupelet is, Mr. Welling?
No.
The maternity ward of the Chicago Lying-In Hospital is a pretty quiet place these days. I was only there to paint a mural. But Mr. Welling, he was there for his children.
This child of yours, Mr. Welling, whichever you decide to keep, he or she will live on a happy, roomy, clean, rich planet, thanks to population control.
Room for Three is an audio drama adaptation by Malthus the Fictional.
Thanks for that, Eric. Sounds brilliant. Really look forward to hearing all of that and hearing what you guys are up to out there in Australia. Also, we had an email in from Richard Summers, a.k.a. Captain Radio. That's a great name. He got in touch in response to our chat about media hosting a few weeks ago. He says archive.org is another good option for uploading your files to. We've got no experience of this ourselves, Robert. I'm just wondering what the listeners' thoughts are. Have you ever hosted on archive.org? Have you had any problems, or do you recommend it? And you know, some of the things that immediately spring to mind are, do you get an RSS feed? Do you get good tech support? Do you get unlimited downloads? We've spoke a lot in the past about how we got stung by using Jellycast, which, you know, was very, very cheap, a one-off payment. And when we started to get a certain amount of downloads, they were basically turning the tap off and asking us for quite a lot of money to turn it back on. So
yeah, like for more than the initial payment.
Yeah.
And that was just to get us through to the end of the month.
Yeah, so yeah. Exactly. So, yeah, interested to hear if anyone hosts on archive.org. What are your experiences, and is it an option that you would recommend?
It would have to be something fairly substantial for us to move from where we are, wouldn't it? But who knows, it might be just the place for budding hosters.
Yeah, well, that's it. I mean, we obviously recommend Libsyn, but no matter how much content you're putting out, you're going to have to pay for that, even if it's just $5 a month. And when someone's starting out and they've maybe only made one show and they think they're not going to be putting another one out for maybe 6 months or longer, then it kind of doesn't make sense signing up to a host where you're going to have to be paying all this money. So, you know, places like SoundCloud and maybe archive.org are good options for that at the moment, potentially.
Yeah. Yeah, we've used SoundCloud, haven't we? Especially we started using it in college to put our different tracks up on, just to have somewhere on the internet. But yeah, if you're going to make anything serious, you really need to consider your options. And you can do that by checking out our previous episode on that very subject. We'll put that in the show notes as well, won't we?
Yeah, and nipped on the old internet this morning and just wanted to say thanks for the iTunes reviews to DMSR and Control-Alt-Destroy. Two great reviews there. We really do appreciate that. And we also would appreciate it if you've not reviewed us on iTunes before, if you could go on there and just leave a wee honest rating and review. And that helps us keep kicking about there and amongst other podcasts that are probably better than us.
So I think that's just about it for this week. As usual, you'll find us at our home online, audiodramaproduction.com. There's always the Facebook group where we're usually hanging out and posting things which are fairly relevant. You can email us, podcast@audiodramaproduction.com. I think that's about it. You got anything else? You look like you've got something to say?
Not really. Just that we haven't had a podcast out for possibly over a week, I think, which is unusual for us. But obviously, I was down in Manchester. You were up north, as you'd alluded to.
Yeah.
Beautiful place up there. I was actually, some of the listeners already know this, but I went out to St Kilda, which is an island 100 miles west of mainland Scotland up in the North Atlantic, and it was abandoned in 1930, so it's had no permanent population since then. And we were very fortunate to be able to go out there on a boat and have a wander around it. And you know, the scenery up there, because we stayed in Skye, which is an island relatively close, of 4 hours on the boat to get out from Skye to St Kilda. But the scenery up there is just magnificent. I know this makes us sound like some sort of Visit Scotland tourist podcast, and really I wouldn't advise coming here because you have to go away up north for it to be nice. This isn't very nice around here.
Edinburgh's all right. You've got some decent pubs, a bit dirty. But, yeah, no, that hasn't done it any favours, has it? Okay. But, yeah. I'm amazed by how much Scotland actually is Skyrim, or even some of the Game of Thrones scenery is like. It really is worth seeing if you've got the time and money, which we don't always have. St Kilda, then, worth a visit. I was really imagining you saying mass grave at some point when it's not been inhabited for so long, and when you got there, there were all these hastily dug graves or something.
Yeah, there's a lot of scope for writing some stories about St Kilda. But, yeah, check it out. If you're interested in that at all, Google it. It's pretty close to, if you've heard the Campfire radio theatre audio drama Ghosts of Flannan Island, which we were both in, by John Ballantyne. When I was looking at the map of where the boat sails, we weren't that far away from those wee islands. And in fact, that company that runs the tours out to St Kilda also runs a tour up to Flannan Island and to the lighthouse. And that's obviously got a bit of a dark history, a lot darker than St Kilda. So, interesting place up there. But yeah, if you're interested in Scotland for some reason, just have a look online, go on Wikipedia and get some of the facts and stories behind these places.
And I can also recommend malt whiskey for getting drunk. You were saying there that on your first night there, you ended up getting rather merry. Our first night of a 7-day holiday, my wife, my dad and our daughter, we were at the...
You all got drunk. Yeah. Your daughter's like...
carrying us home. Well, Tracy took Abigail back up to our cabin in the woods, which again sounds like a horror story. And I said, like, I just want to have a quick chat with my dad. We're going to have one more. Cue 45 minutes later, and we're both sat up at the bar by now. And I swear, we tried every malt whiskey on the shelf. And there were more than six. Not very well when we got back. I think my dad fell and hurt his coccyx and scraped his arm. And it's very dark as well out in the Highlands, when I had to use the torch on my phone to get us home. We didn't do a lot on the Saturday, the second day, I have to say. So, malt whiskey, thumbs up, in moderation.
And if you've just joined us, you're listening to the Scottish Stereotype Podcast.
Yeah.
And just to put the cherry on the cake, finishing up here, we are actually, Robert and I, going out for a pint tonight to celebrate the old award thing. We're going to have a few beers.
Aye, and we don't plan on tipping.
So, and just to, you know, really jump the shark in our stereotype, not just as Scotsmen, but as big Edict Zero fans, a new trailer from the show Edict Zero dropped this morning, and I thought it would be nice just to play us out with that. What's your thoughts, Robert?
I had a listen to it this very morning, and I am fabulously excited. What can I say? I mean, I've read the script, but obviously, because we're in it. But as I was listening to it, I was thinking, oh, wow, yeah, wow. Wow! Wow, this is amazing! I could go on forever. I'm looking very, very much forward to the release of the episode, which should be imminent.
Right, you. So we'll play you out with that, and we'll catch up with you next week. And, yeah, have a good one.
Enjoy yourself.
On the season 3 finale of Edict Zero FIS... Conspiracist flyers were left all over the campus. I have to wonder, as a rational being, if they might even be right.
Conspiracists are having a field day, and why shouldn't they? Isn't this what they've been predicting all along?
Something dramatic happened to the sky, and it's causing a worldwide panic.
Oh, is that all?
It's looking more and more like the end of the world out there.
Because people are acting like it is. It's their reaction, the mass hysteria, that's making it dangerous.
There's chaos on the streets.
The sooner that we become accustomed to it, the better. That goes for everyone in the world, which must carry on with some semblance of order.
Why hasn't anything come out of the embassy? Why are they quiet?
Hands up! You know how this works, Special Agent.
Of course.
Shut up. Do you understand how close you are to dying right now?
Death has a different context than it used to.
Why didn't you keep running, Fed?
The den is absolutely jam-packed with shiny things. How could I resist it? I really couldn't have asked for a richer source of information.
This is the beginning of a major paradigm shift.
I don't believe that sky is real. That it ever was.
We are in a simulation.
Also, the machine that's running the world is on a spaceship. He knows about that?
I hope you appreciate what you've done, Agent Garrett. Any hope that you might have had of going home now is gone.
Ah, home. Where is home, exactly?
What is going on? What's going to happen to us?
Do you feel better now that you know the truth? Will you sleep better at night?
The directive contains an address on the outskirts of Eastergate, North Island.
Why do I feel like we're in trouble?
Maybe we are.
You fail to consider whether you have chosen the right side.
There is nothing to consider.
You think I'm going to become some ball in a game between the two of you? You are sorely mistaken.
Why, may I ask, are you in North Island?
It's where the real action is, evidently.
All intel points to Edict 3 going the way of Edict 2.
Where does that leave me?
For a time, I suspected that you were a mole or a double agent until what happened in St. Percy. I was wrong to drop my suspicions. Every step of the way, while we got closer to the truth, you knew it. How could you do that? Every step of the way.
If you shoot me with that, make sure that you set it to kill.
Real change in the world is brought about in the shadows. The most important work is not done for the want of medals, tales to tell, or triumphs to boast. It's too momentous.
I'm tired of being trapped and at the mercy of forces that use people to play their games or sell their lives or fight their wars.
At the end of the day, what does any man want but to feel useful? What's more precious than that? I can give that to you again, and more.
There are things that could be taken away from you that you didn't even know you had.
You can also do something about that arm that's been getting in the way of your life since the Nemtex incident.
Oh? Like what?
Sorry for all of you. All of us.
I am Agent Seth Warren. I am Field Operations Chief of the Clandestine Services for the Embassy of Edict 1.
Our hands up in the air.
I don't think I like where this is going.
Now!
I found the client note of the FIS agent, but I ran into something wonky. I'm checking it out. Oh, man. Oh, man.
Spoon! Get in here! Now! Right now!
I'm going to have nightmares.
He's on the other side of Agent Garrett's clan connection.
We haven't just acquired an understudy, we've...
What?